Good evening. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians, if you would. We've been kind of looking at some of the passages in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, no particular order. Just kind of jump around as I see fit. And tonight we're going to be in chapter 2. Again, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians are addressed to a church that really is doing pretty well. And when you look at the fact that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was only there for, it looks like, 3 weeks or so, pretty amazing church, really, that was established upon 3 weeks of teaching from Paul, and then it appears others probably followed up on that. But pretty amazing. So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it. Not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Few brethren became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, for you also endured the same suffering at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and drove us out. They are not pleasing to God, but hostile to all men, hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles, to the nations, that they might be saved, with the result that they always fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the utmost. Let's go to our audience in heaven. Father, we are grateful that we get the opportunity to be together again tonight, and I am thankful that we get the opportunity on this, your day, the Lord's Day, Father's Day, happy Father's Day, Abba, that we get the opportunity to be at your table, to be reminded of the value that you've placed upon us and the confidence that you have in us, the way that you were willing to demonstrate that was through the ultimate act of love and sacrifice, by the offering of yourself in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. I'm truly appreciative for this privileged position that I have been given the great opportunity to become a part of. And that's the exalted and elevated church into your very presence. For all things that we do in your presence. I'm so grateful again for the brothers and sisters that are assembled here tonight, and pray for this message, that what I bring forth would be faithful to your word, Lord. It would ultimately encourage, equip, and edify them. And ultimately, I know that if I do this correctly, it will bring glory to you. And that is our real goal, to glorify and honor you and understand who you've made us to be in Christ Jesus so that we can execute your purpose in this our generation to your glory. Ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, a church basically founded in 3 short weeks and becomes a church that models the apostle and his instruction and becomes a model that he's going to use for the region, which is today modern-day Greece, and maybe even stretching over into the environs of western Turkey, peninsula where Turkey is located today, the nation of Turkey. Pretty amazing. I don't know if you guys really think about that. Just think about personal studies you've had with individuals, and if in 3 weeks you could study with individuals and produce the type of person that would be an imitator of the Apostle Paul, who was an imitator of Christ, and then could be an integral part of building a tremendously faithful congregation. Think about that. Let's turn back to Acts 17 just to take a look at some of this information again. I think it's worthwhile to go back and look at this. Take a look at the first 2-3 verses or so, maybe 5. We'll see how far we're going to go here. Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. Now when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them and for 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and giving evidence. In case you guys never really noticed that word, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you, is the Christ. He's the Messiah. And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas. By the way, my grandson is named Silas. All right. Along with a great multitude of the God-fearing Greeks and a number of the leading women. And it goes on to talk about how the majority of the Jews responded. So verse 4, some of them, the Jews, were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with a great multitude of the God-fearing Greeks. So there were some, these are the guys that were kind of hanging in the synagogue there, listening to things that were said. They already, God had already in a way, what I would say, primed the pump for Paul when he got there. See? They were kind of prepared. And these guys kind of realized there was something to this true God, you know, in the midst of all this paganism that they'd been exposed to throughout all their lives, I'm sure. So here comes Paul, and he spends 3 weeks, and he reasons with them from the Scriptures. He ties it all together, gives them evidence that Jesus is the Christ. Bang. They take off and run with it. The Jews, a little bit more of a problem. Now, later on in the chapter, it says the brethren in Berea were more noble-minded. Now, remember, back in verse 4 there, it says, and some of them, and that's, to me, is a reference to the Jews in the synagogue. Over to chapter, or 17, Acts 17, 10, and this is after they got a skedaddle. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Same old pattern. Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. Who's he talking about were more noble-minded, brethren? The Jews. For they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Now look at verse 12. Many of them therefore believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. Notice now the Jews seem to be the ones in Berea that are the majority, and there's some prominent Greek women and men. Isn't it interesting? Maybe you've never really thought about it when you read Acts 17, but I just wanted to throw that out there for you tonight, just for your consumption, kind of by means of introduction. So this is kind of the story here that Acts 17 prepares us with, that information, so that we can understand the letters that Paul then goes back and writes to the church at Thessalonica. He built them fast, he built them well. But you'll see there were a few issues that they had to work on after Paul left, and it appears that that one primary issue was the return of Jesus Christ. Seems to be an issue that he had to iron out with them that maybe they didn't have down completely and understood really well. Who wants to come up here tonight and take 15 minutes and explain to the assembly the return of Jesus Christ? Come on. I'm waiting. I'm serious. Nobody? So maybe the Thessalonians weren't so bad after all. Oh, really? I mean, you know, somebody said to you, hey, explain to me the second coming of Christ or the return of Jesus Christ. Is that a confused issue today? Is it? How many of you really, don't raise your hand, but just ask yourself, do I really, really understand this well? Now, some of the young Christians, I know you're going, not really. And you're being honest. How could I explain this? Do I have it down? Can I contest premillennialism? Do I know how to present their case and then take it apart piece by piece scripturally? What am I getting at? Paul came, he reasoned from the Scripture. He reasoned from the Scripture. So it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, for this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it for not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God. He offered evidence. He presented it. He said, this is the word of God. Let me prove it to you. He reasoned. He worked from the Scripture. Apollos in chapter 18 of Acts, reasoning from the Scripture, piecing it together to help them to understand that Jesus is the Christ. See? All of us should be able to put all the Scriptures together to help people reason with people. And I say, you should be able to still do it today with nothing but the Old Testament Scripture. and prove that Jesus Christ, based on the historical record of Jesus Christ, who he claimed to be, who he really was, that he was the Messiah, should be able to do that. Now Paul says, man, I constantly thank God for you. Now, take a look in this room. Swivel your head. Literally, swivel. Look around. I can see all of you. Well, some of you got your heads down. Lift them up, man. It's okay. Right, I can see you. When was the last time in prayer you just thanked God? Just occasionally. For those that received the message that was brought to them. Not as the message of the words of men, but as the word of God. How many of you thank people for that on a regular basis in your prayer life? I read this, I said, I need to get busy with thanking God constantly for you. I'm serious. If it was Paul's practice, why wouldn't it be mine? Make sense? Makes sense, doesn't it? Do you guys ever understand really who you are? I mean, stop and think about just, well, look at your neighbor who's a Christian. How incredible it is. I mean, Neil's a new Christian. And it's a miracle every time somebody becomes a Christian, brethren. It's a miracle. You know why? Because the miracle of God's Word. The power it has to perform the work in those who believe. It's miraculous. It's supernatural power, brethren. It's miraculous. Think of who you were before Christ, some of you. I think of who I was. And who you are today. I think of who I am today. You know, it was mentioned this morning, when Paige was doing his class on, trying to do his class on finances without all the interruption from all of us that had to throw our 2 cents in. But, you know, he says, let's go back and talk about our earlier life. And my immediate response is, no, let's not. You know, I don't like thinking about my previous life, brethren. I really don't. There's a lot of stuff I am glad is dead and buried, or to speak scripturally, has been hidden in Christ, in God. Whew, thank you. That's all I'm going to say. You know. But what I want you guys to understand is Paul comes, preaches this message 3 weeks, and he gets this great congregation going, and he's, man, I am constantly thanking God for you. You know, what was Paul's life like? It was a bed of roses, right? When he went out and preached the gospel? Nah, that's not what I see. So here comes a congregation of God-fearing Greeks that take to this word and run with it for all it's worth, and they stand in the midst of their family, their friends, their culture, society, and they stand for Jesus Christ. 3 short weeks. He says, man, I constantly bearing in mind thanking God for you. Brethren, you ever had a tough week or two? World kind of whipping you up pretty good. You know, nothing like what Jesus went through, but whipping you pretty good. There's a lot of times I can't wait to get to assembly. Be it a Lord's Day or a Wednesday, I just need to get with the brethren. I need that encouragement. I need to look around and go, yes, there's still at least 7,000 knees that haven't bowed to Baal in this town. And we got about 120 of them here. Let's go find a rest. Right? That's kind of the way I look at it. Right? That's the way we should look at it. So, brethren, it's incredible when you stop and think about how many of us have come to believe that this is the Word of God in the face of the opposition that is thrown against God's Word today in our society. Now, they had paganism and they had the Roman rulers and Caesar's king, and don't you contest that, and all these other things. But brethren, we got every bit as much opposition today, every bit as much as they had back then. Only now they grab your kids at 6 years old, and rather than put them in paganism, they stick them in a government school, and they start telling them the big lie. The goo that became you. Right? I was looking at something the other day, some little strip, two guys sitting across the table from each other, and this one guy says, so you're an atheist, huh? He says, yeah. He says, why are you an atheist? He said, well, I can't buy into that simplistic magic type stuff. And the other guy goes, well then, how did everything come to be? I have that wrong. I gotta think about it. How did it come, or where did the universe come from? Oh, it was always there. Doesn't that sound like kind of a simplistic, magical notion? Doesn't sound like you put any thought into that when you respond that way. But when you actually challenge people that believe in evolution, I mean, other than scientists, well, we'll leave that alone. What do people tell you? Well, science says. If science told you that you're supposed to jump off the rims right about where the airport runway is over there and you'll levitate if you jump, are you going to believe them? You ain't going to go jump. Just because they said it, you're going to believe them? You know, maybe this is simplistic, my approach. But brethren, people think the Word of God is nothing but a bunch of myths. Good moral teaching to certain people that, you know, that fits their lifestyle. But I mean, I'm just amazed. You know, I read the paper every now and again. I get the Sunday Pravda, Gazette, that's what it is, something like that. You know, and I see there's a big parade that was in town this weekend, and it was about, you know, the hot topic in our culture today, which is homosexuality and transgenders. And of course, there's those that claim to be Christians, you know, that would, well, I don't think they believe the Bible's Word of God, but they would claim that they're Christian, that are promoting that stuff that the Bible very clearly says is not approved by God. Now, am I after anybody that's in that situation on a personal level to cause them any harm? No, I'm not. Do I want to tell them the truth if I get the opportunity? Sure. Have I had that opportunity before? Yes. We have members in our extended family, my wife and I, who are of that persuasion. And I can tell you the ones that we've talked to would tell you we've never been mean-spirited to them in any way. And I don't need to be. But we've told them the truth. Here comes Paul in the midst of a pagan society that believes all kinds of incredibly immoral stuff. And he delivers this message and stand these Greeks that are God-fearing in the midst of this opposition. So you see the verses that follow that we're not going to really focus on tonight, 14, 16, talk about, here's the opposition that Paul faced, here's the opposition they face. Luke preached a message this morning that I had to get up, get out of my chair, and I walked over and asked, I can't remember specifically, I said, would you check my eyebrows? I want to make sure they're not singed. You know? I said it jokingly, but it was a great message. It really was, Luke. It was a great message. It was about the same old issue that most people in the religious marketplace will tell you is the number one issue with their congregation, and that's something called commitment. Well, here's a church here that we read out of the first letter to the Thessalonians. It's a pretty committed church. Pretty committed. And guys, I really like to think that we're a lot like that church in Thessalonica, and I mean that. I'm not saying in 3 weeks Luke could, you know, I don't know, maybe, but I'm just saying that I think we have some things that are pretty right. But I'm also saying, like Luke did this morning, maybe we don't have everything right. You know, so, you know, this church here, it seems like they had some issues, the assemblies in Thessalonica, with the Lord's return. They were not very solid there, and they had to be trained up a little bit. So there's probably things amongst us in this congregation that maybe we don't have 100% lined out. Would you agree with that? So there needs to be more teaching and preaching, right? Make sense? Would you guys agree with that? So, okay, so I'm going to ask a really tough question. What time does Bible class start on Lord's Day morning? 9 a.m. Okay. All right. Now, I'm not going to ask a second question, but you know what it would be. Because it's already in your mind. You know it is. I don't have to say it. I ain't picking on anybody. I'm just telling you. Starts at 9 a.m. All I got to do is to prove to you that, you know, we might have a little bit of a commitment issue in our congregation is to look at the attendance numbers. Kevin, come on, man. Back off. Jeez, you're a jerk. Here you go again. You know? Hey, I mean, you guys got to answer the Lord. You're not going to answer to me. And then here comes Lord's Day evening. And, you know, low, pretty good, low. Wednesday, low, slow, we go. See? Momentum. Now, I know some of you have jobs, and listen, if that's you, you're sick. I mean, hey, this it's not directed in any way negatively. But let's be honest. Luke talked about this morning, and I did not intend to, or I did not create this message this afternoon going, well, let's give them a double barrel full tonight. You know, I had this thing planned out over 2 weeks ago, this message. I want to be honest and tell you that, okay? You know, but when Luke presented this morning, it just opened up another opportunity for me to touch on this subject. You know, so, hey, you can't waste a great opportunity. So, brethren, there are some things that some of us need to know yet so that we can be better communicators of the Word, be better imitators of God, and be able to take this message into our city. Because, you know, there's 120 of us approximately. Maybe, I don't know, we maybe have 150, 160 people in our congregation, you know, that would say they're affiliated with us in some manner. You know, and we need to build that commitment. You know, I don't know if the Thessalonians, when they got together, if I don't know how it worked. If certain, you know, I don't know how it worked. All I can tell you is I know they were committed. I'm just going to leave it at that. And I want to believe that we are committed. All right? So we see that Paul's practice, he comes in new reasons from the Scriptures. So our teaching is going to be from the Scripture. And we're going to bring you concepts and principles of the Scripture. We're going to help you believe that Jesus Christ is who the Scripture says He is. So we're going to do studies. They're going to help you to understand all these things that God talked about in the Old Testament have some bearing on you and I today. I mean, the Old Testament has some value. Amen? Amen? Come on, some of you guys, get your heads up. Come on, get your heads up. It's a good thing. It's a good thing what we're talking about. So we're going to prove from the Scriptures. In the midst of tribulation, agitation, confusion, when we bring the message of God, is there going to be an opposing program? Always. Okay, so... oh, boy. What I like is that it says that the Word of God is at work in those who believe. That word for work in the Greek is the word, and I know Mr. Taylor would know this word. He might even have looked it up already. I've heard him talk about it in the past. It's the word in Greek that's pronounced like this, energeo. Energeo. Anybody hear anything vaguely familiar? Energy. Thank you, Faithful Liz is over there mouthing it to me. Faithful Liz, what a great name, and that's rightly named for you, young lady. Energize! How many of you just went Star Trek? Mr. Scott. Energize us now. Right? Move them from one place into safety. Always rescued them at the last minute from the space beast or whoever it was. Alright? Energize. They stole that from the Bible. Everything Hollywood does that's of any real lasting value came from the Holy Word. You guys laugh, but I think it's true. Alright, so the power of God's Word to perform its work in you, it energizes. Energizes. Man, I loved watching Neil's growth, little by little. You didn't think I was maybe watching you, but I was watching. Liz and everybody. I go back to Lorenzo. I go back to Tyler and Marina. Man, still love your guys' example back there. Still do. Looking forward to that baby you're bringing into the world. And you know, what about Levi and Julie? You know, we can go through some of the people that have become new Christians in our assembly. You know, Kendall, you 2 years old yet? Virtually every assembly, there sits Kendall Lee right over there. Maybe he's gone a time or two. Not much. Appreciate you, Kendall. Tamina, you got a great husband. Of course, you know it. She's still smiling. Right? I could go through the room and go Talk about all you, you know. Some of you young guys that are coming up, going to be great workers for the Lord. Lorenzo, I mentioned you. Roger. Roger Migalski is, the Word of God has taken root in Roger. Man, it has energized him. This guy's got some great wisdom for a young man. I've seen it on a personal basis in meetings where he's helped me work with brethren that had a little bit of conflict. I've seen his wisdom. What are we going to do with guys like those? We're going to build them up. We're going to develop them. We're going to get them up here in front of you is what we're going to do. What about guys that work behind the scenes? What about some of them? Guys that do a lot that you don't hear about. There's many in this assembly. John Hahn's one of them. There's so many people in this assembly. If I went and talked to you, what about the Hahn? Mr. Hahn? Yeah. I love to pick on John. But man, is that guy, he is just a tremendous man. He's been, good to me, good to my extended family. You know, physical family, who's now my spiritual family. Brother Bill and I here, that's Kathy's brother by blood, and he's my brother by blood too. Amen? He's your brother by blood. See, the work that God's Word can perform in you, but there's a big if. You have to believe. Now, why would you believe anything that's not true? Well, you won't. You can play a game, but when the opposition really raises its head and comes after you, it'll be revealed. It'll be revealed. But with you guys, I see you standing. There's so many that do so much in this assembly. Now, I don't want to, I feel like I've already forgotten a bunch of you guys, or should have said something about all of you. Someday, Luke says he's going to do Romans 16. I'll do my message on you guys. I've done a couple. One of them was called the Lord's Second Fiddlers, and a whole lot of you are the Lord's Second Fiddlers. You're willing to take that second or third seat to watch this thing get done. And many of you are of the female persuasion. Don't think I don't recognize what you're willing to do without any accolades and to work kind of, out of the limelight. God's Word, what it can perform, the work, the energizing that it can do for those who believe is what really gets me excited. I don't know about you guys, but when I watch people take to God's Word and they take off and run, Levi's growth, I'm looking forward to Neil's growth. No pressure, Neil, you got 3 weeks. And then that didn't go very well, that bomb, but seriously. Rachel here tonight? She working, gone, whatever. Oh, quit slouching. I can't see you. Sit up, girl. Rachel just recently immersed. And you go and ask her some of the circumstances why she got immersed. Not just the truth of the God, but just ask her. I know some of it. I know the backstory. Do you? Inquiring minds want to know. Go ask her. It's really cool. I think she knows what I'm talking about. It was about her influence over another individual. Brethren, it's cool. Mrs. Hahn, I think you were the first to come to the assembly. Is that right? Was it John? I'm sorry, John. I thought Mrs. Hahn was in front of you, but I apologize. But look. John. And John's no cupcake, all right? Okay? This guy, you better be able to prove to him what you're talking about. That's all I'm going to tell you. But you guys just don't know what John does since he's taken to the Word of God. And he's convinced it's true. You just don't know. Because John doesn't throw it out there. He's not a flashy guy. Well, maybe if we get the buffing towel out, for him and my brother-in-law. And I was teasing him earlier. It's okay. Brother, I'm trying to lighten this up a little bit. Really what I want to focus on is the good stuff that's going on in this congregation. But to be honest, there's some complacency that's set in as well. But let's deal with that at another time. Let's talk about the good stuff that's going on and build on that. The Word of God that's able to perform its work in you who believe. Lorenzo, you're awesome. Felicia, man, you've done some things, Felicia. Just great. I go back to the cities. God's child, Mississippi. Ooh, ooh. That's an old 70s song, right? If you don't know it, you wouldn't. Never mind. Mr. City understands and smiles every time I sing it to him. And there's the Beach Boys that sang about the city girls. You know, so, hey, look! What about people that have worked through some tough stuff and made it? Some of you are here in this assembly. Had to stand through difficult things. Nikki, thank you for your personal example. Thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, there's others. What about Dr. Dobson? You know you need the doctor to tell you what you got to do. You know you need the doctor. He'll preach the gospel to you. You know you need the doctor for your soul. See, the Doobie Brothers had it wrong. They really wanted to sing about him. Brethren, this is fun now, isn't it? But it's because of the work of the power of God's Word that's been performed in you. Mike Wojciechowski, he does the greatest Star-Spangled Banner by Daffy Duck I've ever heard. You didn't know he could do that. But you want a guy to lift you up? Man, go find Mikey. You want a guy that's just going to speak encouragingly to you that you don't really know a lot about? Well, what about Mike Lindell back there? Mike always has an encouraging word for me. When he gets something great to read, he brings it to me. Here, Kevin, you really like this. You have to check. Look at what my brother wrote. He's proud of his brother that you had some influence over. Amen, Mike? Yeah. Mike had it, and he brings me stuff that his brother's written. It's really good. Ah, that's the power of God's Word. Energizing. Energize. Moving people out of the domain of darkness and into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Brethren, this is the message that Paul was communicating to the church in Thessalonica. The message goes from this place out to the world thanks to Jared Schaefer, Jeremy City. And when they're gone, Levi knows enough to go back there and get that thing running. You know, they don't want me anywhere near it. Luke and I, you guys are in trouble if you ever need a car fixed. Well, let's lay hands on it and pray over it. That's about all we're going to be able to do, all right? But, you know, we got Justin. We got John Moransic. We got, you know, I mean, what tools should I buy to work on it? I don't know. Go see Dave Barnett at Lowe's. Guys, I can go through the whole group. You want to know about finance. You want to know about the conspiratorial works that are going on in the world to dismantle our awesome country. Talk to Mark Taylor. Only because, you know, Elvin isn't here anymore. You know, that's your mantle, Mark. You know, I mean, brethren, I want to encourage you tonight. The value. Have you been praying, constantly thanking God for you? And the you can turn and look at somebody. John, you can even turn and look at your wife, Linda. Thank you. You know, I should do that with my wife. Now, before I got up here to preach, my wife leans over and kisses me on the ear. I don't know. She whispered something. I'm deaf. I didn't hear it. But... but she kissed me on my ear, and that's her way of saying, you know, you're going to be fine. How can I not come up here and be fine? How can I not? We got great young couples come up that, you know, they've worked through some tough stuff, and man, they've made a commitment, they're going to go. You know, guys, look around you. Look around you at the miracle that's sitting next to you, near you, behind you, in front of you, before you. You're going, not you, Kevin. Okay. But man, brethren, this excites me. When I read this kind of stuff, yeah, I can read, yeah, they got some issues. There's some, but I think Paul is constantly thanking God for them. Because they stand. I believe you're going to stand. Stand with me. That's another song running through your head, right? I'm not going to sing it. Brethren, I love music, which is obvious to you guys by now, right? And I take all that old music, which is good. The tune is good. The beat, you know, got the hook, right? And I just change the words, and I make it a spiritual song. You guys go, ooh, and I'm like, geez, are they easy to placate? But, brethren, what I want you to really take away from this message tonight, he was always praying for that Thessalonican church, because it's a rare gem and jewel, brethren, of a congregation that stands like the Thessalonians did in the midst of the opposition they faced. We're not there yet. It's coming. We're warning you. We're not doomsdayers. We're warning you. There is an agenda. It's coming. But I believe in you. I'm thankful for you. I need you. I care about you. I love you. I hope you at least like me. Bring a tear to my eye, Levi. You like me? This is for you, Luke.
Thanks for noticing me.
Anyway, brethren, I just want you to look around. People that have been involved in so much in this congregation. Thank you, Pat Hopper, for all your work in this addition that we did on this building. How many of you have gone to Pat Hopper and personally thanked him, along with Josh Cole, who's not here tonight, but thanked him for some of the things he ran herd on, so to speak, in this addition? There were some things that we really entrusted to Pat, and he ran with it. There were others. But I just want Pat to know. I appreciate it. Pat's been to my house and done work for me. Pat, I appreciate everything you've ever done for me. I want you to know that. You're a lot like your dad, Nat. You'll give, and you'll give. Thank you. Brethren, I've gone along for a reason. I want to talk about you, and I want you to look and understand the people next to you, how valuable they are, and that God's Word performs an incredible work in those who believe. And that's you. It's you. Thank you, Rich. Thank you, Chris. And I just want to go through the whole body. Michelle, thank you. You've stood too. Thank you. I see you back there too, Tim. Mr. and Mrs. Donahue, thanks for always having your house open. I constantly thank God for you guys for the things you've done over the years. Brethren, I want you to take some of the things I'm saying and I think about the people you have interaction with in this body and put them on your prayer list, on that positive prayer list on a daily basis. Constantly thanking God for, put a name or two in there. Sound good? That'll motivate you. That'll encourage you. It will, brethren. It'll encourage you. Constantly thank Him. Recognize the Word of God and the power that it has and the work that it can do in those who believe. We got some work to do. I believe in you. I hope you believe in me. Let's work together as a team. Let's get ready to stand. It's the green tree, but the wind's blowing hard and the ground's starting to get dry. I love you. I love you guys. You're all I got in the world. And I love you. Let's stand.